podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Ken, Carter, and Quinn resist each other on B&B, parent trap shenanigans on General Hospital, Sutton's secret is revealed on Y&R, and Marla Gibbs joins Days. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello, Lucas.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Meowee! Time to do that one time.
Woo! Okay, let's talk about Days of Our Lives. Marla Gibbs she's going to be playing Paulina's mother. Jillian, what'd you think of the news?
I thought it was cool. And it lines up right when Marla Gibbs got her Walk of Fame, a star on the Walk of Fame. I think it's great. Now this is just a memo to Ron. Now Ron, you can't hire Pearl Shea now. Can't go get Pearl Shea now.
Woo!
Got you a Ouija board. That's you can't do it now.
Well, this is Days. Ouija boards have, I'm sure, played something in the past.
Said what I said.
She on the front stoop at the up room.
Exactly. So yeah, you can't do that now. But I think it's cool. I mean, if they had not tried to get Marla Gibbs, this would not be Days, and this would not be Ron Carlovati. I'm sorry. So I think it's cool. You know, it would crack me up if they got Calvin, but we don't. Yeah, that would crack me up.
Hey, if Regina King want to do a walk on, I'm not gonna hate on that either.
I mean, she and Jack Kay are very, 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 very close. They are still in contact. They're like really good friends. But this is Regina King is really booked. If she's not acting, she's behind the scenes directing. So if they could pull that off, that would be amazing.
Ooh, what a coup would that be?
Yeah, but I kind of doubt it because she is very, very in demand these days.
Josh, what'd you think?
I think it's brilliant. And we have no idea how they're going to take it, but there's an opportunity here, depending on how they write it, to do kind of a similar thing that Bold and the Beautiful did with Betty White. I don't know if they're going to take it in that direction or if it's going to be more comedic. I'll just be very curious to see because it's going to be great no matter what.
And people forget Marla Gibbs did Daytime before. She was on Passions. She played Eve and Liz, Eve and her no good sister, Liz's Aunt Irma, who was such a huge bitch to Eve. So yeah, Marla has done Daytime before, and she's like, for people to be like, and I saw one or two people, oh, will she be able to keep up? She did Passions. She did Passions under James fucking Riley. She did Zany and Crazy under there. Like, that woman is a national treasure because if you remember, Passions was just off the chain. So pretty sure she could keep up with Carlovati and go.
And there was just an article that came out that she said, I'm 90 going on 30. I love that. I think she's awesome.
She is. She's funny. She's funny as hell. She and Jack A still talk to this day, and she is hilarious. So I'm here for it.
Keeping up with the fallout from Eric and Nicole's anniversary party is something that fans enjoyed this last week. There was both Eric and Nicole's reaction, then also the stuff going on with Lucas and Philip. As predicted from last week's podcast, Philip ended up with the letter. Meanwhile, EJ is questioning Sammy on something that Nicole said. Josh, what did you think?
Days of Our Lives has their Emmy episodes to submit, I think. I don't know what they got coming up, but the episodes around the anniversary party and the fallout from that, Days, it's one of the things I think they do better than anybody is have 48 different storylines come together at one party. And it does, and it really played out well. I thought Ariane Zucker and Greg Vaughn broke my heart, and I don't even like Eric. I think he's a chump, but he broke my heart along with Ariane Zucker. But what we got out of that was Nicole becoming Nicole again. When Philip brought her that letter and Nicole set her eye and that mouth kind of turned up with a smile, I was like, oh, we got it. We got it. And that confrontation between EJ and Nicole on Friday was brilliant. It was just classic.
That was to me. That was a good cliffhanger because they gonna be on hiatus for like 2 weeks because of them shit ass Olympics.
And Dan showed up, threw that shit off that desk, pounded his fist down, and I just thought, ooh, dark Damara coming down the pike here. I hope.
Yes. You know, EJ is not gonna take this lightly. EJ is not going to take this lightly, and. Philip, I just said, Philip, Sammy never had beef with you.
Got beef now.
Yes. Sammy has never had any ill will to Philip. They have been cool. Even though Sammy has done his brothers wrong and his mama dirty, Sammy and Philip have always been cool. The fact that Philip can say he did this for Lucas all he wants, but let's just be real. Philip gave this letter to Sammy's worst enemy. You yep. knew what the fuck you were doing, sir. So the fact that you were that calculated to give it to Nicole, not even say, let me drop it off at EJ's, put it on EJ's desk, slip it in his pocket, none of that. You gave it to Nicole, proves what you were up to. And when Sammy finds out that you did this, I feel as though any truce that Kate and Sammy has is blown up in smoke. It's dead. The truce that Sammy had with Kate is dead, and any type of coexistence that Sammy and Lucas had, that's gone. I feel as though when EJ finds out that Philip did this, he's going to destroy Philip too. Like, it's so much repercussions and ramifications because of this thing. And it's like, it's so much of this to feed off of for years to come. I mean, like, I wish they could have, what is Philip's daddy's name? Victor. I wish they could have Victor there and Victor find out Victor finds out because Victor would probably tell Philip, she put my ass, I was in a stroke for years. Mm-hmm. I missed your formative years because of that wench. Look at the hell she did to your brothers. And let's not even go there about your mother. Boy, you just put yourself in the line of fire. And for what? Because Lucas is horny and misses her? Like, you know how, let's just keep it real. We know that's how Victor would talk. Let's just be real if he was around. Yep. Philip has just, this is going to be amazing shit. I liked also that John, Belle got on my nerves. I'm like, Belle, shut the fuck up, okay?
And John defended Sammy.
I love that.
Like, John was like, Sammy was trying to protect her brother. That's what I love about John. Marlena, let's just keep it real. That's why Sammy does Marlena the way she does. Marlena will never have Sammy's back. Only once in a blue moon. Roman, Sammy, you know, always yelling and shit. Sammy should just pop him one. But Roman, John,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, I was gonna say John. Even though, and it's so funny, Sammy has this dislike. Well, it's not a disdain anymore, but she always, for years, she had this disdain for John. But John always understood Sammy better than her own parents. And for him to sit down and tell Belle she had a legitimate reason, I don't know what it is, but knowing Sammy, she did this to protect her brother. And that's why she did. Well, that's half of the reason why she did it. Yeah. Well, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, there were these little things going on in the background when Xander, and let's not forget Paul Telfer, he did a great job.
Oh, stitchy ass Xander.
Oh, he was great. Oh, but in the background, it was not, so they were going back and forth showing Sammy, showing Nicole, showing Eric, but in the background, Roman, Josh Taylor turned slightly and just stared daggers through Sammy as if to say, really? Really you did this? You did this in public. It's not so much that she did it in public. It was a public humiliation for Eric. And I feel like I understand the push and pull and everything, but it was nice to see John stand up for her. And it was nice to see EJ, regardless of what he thought, have her back in front of Nicole. I like.
Yeah. What did you think of Ben and Sierra's storyline this last week, Josh?
I like it. They're playing on history. They're trying to do a little derivative of Larry Welch and Hope and Bo. Not the same thing, but a little bit. I liked that Claire brought it up to Ben. I thought Claire and Sierra's little fight was great. Victoria Konofal set her neck and set her face and was like, bitch, don't try me.
Why you white girls like to roll y'all necks? It's just not her.
I was unclear as to why she did that.
Why y'all white girls like to do that? Knock like that shit the fuck off.
I like that she her face did stuff, but I didn't really love the neck roll. But I like that Claire then bowed up and grabbed that bouquet and smacked the shit out of her with it.
Damn right. She said, I ain't no punk.
No, and I liked all of it, really. I like Allie being a part of it. I like the kidnapping at the end. The only one that I feel, the only problem with it I have is Theo. God love Theo. Theo's going to be left out in the cold.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Me and somebody was talking about this. Shout out to Xander Dash, you know, because we had a discussion about how Luke was trying to say that this was kind of on the borderline of Sammy and EJ when EJ gave her those options. This is nothing like that because if any, nothing like that. And it's not even, some people try to make this seem like this is with Theo. It's sort of reminiscent of Stefan and, what's that girl's name? Abigail. No, it's not. Stefan and, Abigail. This is, they're nothing like this because Sierra is of sound mind and body. The only thing is she's lost her memory of the past couple of years. It's not a situation where she's mentally incapacitated, you know, thinking she's someone else. She just lost the memories of the past couple of years. She, like when you had Ben say, she purposely set for our divorce to be on our anniversary. That's not somebody who's mentally incapacitated. That shows that bitch is very calculating and cunning. She, if anything, I feel as though Sierra is the driving force of all of this. So
yeah.
When people try to say, oh, it's like, try to like equate it to like him, like in the rape sense, I'm just like, okay, fall back. Like that's not even, and I don't even think that, like,
we don't even know if they've slept together.
No, and you saw what Ben said. Like, if they did, I'm pretty sure Sierra would have thrown that in his face by now.
Yeah, that is the thing. Sierra's been throwing everything at him, and she would have thrown it in his face.
But that, yes.
Yeah, and also Theo, again, and I don't, not to beat a dead horse, but from last week, but Theo's frame of his executive functioning, he's a little more concrete. He's not being calculated with this. Sierra says she doesn't remember. Sierra says she wants to marry him. He's going with that. It's Sierra who is getting flashes and pushing back. And rightfully so, freaked out that she doesn't remember marrying the serial killer. That makes perfect sense to me. But she's more of, I agree with you, everybody in town is trying to tell her.
She's running things. If anything, Theo is just like, okay, he's just going with the flow. Sierra is running things right here. And I guarantee you, if she had slept with Theo already, she would have thrown that would have been her draw for. That would have been her last domino. She would have slammed down and been like, and I slept with Theo. Now what you gonna do about it? To crush Ben. She has not said anything like
exactly
that ever.
Really, really fast. I thought it was a very funny moment and real moment when after Claire had filled Ben in on Larry Welch, he's like, okay, I'm going to get on my motorcycle. I'm going to throw her on the back and we're going to drive away. And Claire's like, I'm not sure that's the safest option. And he's like, well, that's what you said. And she's like, that was like back in the dark ages. Don't do that. And I thought it was a really kind of funny moment that played well. It was like one of those little things, just a little detail. I like
that.
Jillian, what did you think of Quinn and Carter this last week on The Bold and the Beautiful?
Quinn, this goes to show you that Quinn just was going with the flow. She was just trying to be what Eric thought she should have been because she don't give a damn. Like the Quinn that we know, if she was really serious about Eric, she would have been fighting Eric tooth and nail. She would have dragged it out. She would have told Carter, yo, back up off me. I don't need to be around you. She keeps coming back to Carter more and more. You know, she talking to her kid. He's running, you know, railing into her. And she's just like, she gets a text from Carter. And she's like, oop, gotta go. I'm like, damn, Carter put that thing on her. And she don't know how to act. And I love it. I love the fact that Carter, like, called Ridge and Eric out when they wanted to cut Quinn's jewelry line, and he was like, when they were like, oh, we have other things that can make money. And he was like, no, this has sold a million units in a month alone. Like, what the fuck is you doing? You trying to cut your nose off to spite your face and it looks stupid. And Eric had to acquiesce. I love that. I love that he checked them for that. Like y'all are stupid. Like, that's how your ass got in bed with Bill, so to speak, before. That's how come Bill owns your old beach house. That's why Wyatt lives at your beach house. That's why I want to say Bill owns their Big Bear house. They had to unload shit because y'all were going broke. Quinn is giving y'all an influx of capital. Like, that was like, I'm like, Eric, you sound stupid. Like, if anything, you should have said, okay, Quinn, we're going to buy you out, or we're going to license this, or something else. Like, I thought that was so stupid. But I like Carter and Quinn just cannot keep their hands off of each other, and it is just sizzling. Their chemistry is just fire. And I hope they do more with Lauren St. Victor and Rena Sofer. Like, I just hope this isn't just something that is just for the summer and then they go back into the shelves. Because let's just be honest, this is how this regime works.
Josh, what'd you think?
Yeah, Carter and Quinn are fire. There's no doubt about that. I do wish that we weren't moving so quickly to maybe love. I wish we would stay lustful a little bit, but also it sets up an opportunity, and I hesitate to do this because it almost never happens. But there's an opportunity here where Carter is going to be Eric's divorce lawyer. I wish Carter and Quinn would full in go in and try to manipulate the situation to where Quinn gets something, or that that he's feeding her information or whatever.
Well, he kind of is feeding her information. He told her Eric wanted to get rid of your line girl, but I saved it.
That is true. I hope they take it there.
I want Carter to, like, when Ridge tries, it annoys me. Yes, Carter is in the wrong, but it's only so much a man could take. You know what I'm saying? And when I say that, I mean, when Ridge tries to get all sanctimonious, I understand that's his father. I want for Carter to say, sir, didn't you go after his women several times? Didn't you go after Brooke? And we thought that Bridget was yours. Didn't you have a dangerous liaison with Quinn a few years back? Like, I want.
Eric should be saying that stuff too. When Ridge speaks up too much, Eric should be like, not your lesson to teach. Just stand there and be quiet.
Later on, like, you know, of course, not in front of Carter, but he should say it. Now, Ridge, you really want to go there? Like, for Ridge to just be like, sorry, Dad, you know, and for Ridge to be like, I'm sorry, Dad, but, you know, this is Carter and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm like, is Shelley Altman over there? Because I'm like, I only asked that because y'all don't want to use the history that you have. We know Miss Thang did not like to use history, and she said it in the books in an interview. Oh, I didn't know it had this history. Why aren't you using it? I don't understand it.
Eric could be full on. I mean, I don't know if they would be willing to do this, but or if John McCook, I don't know how often John McCook's on set or how often he's there. But the reality is that this could Eric could just go full on cold and destroy everyone.
I would like for Eric to be, you find out that Eric is calculating, like, you find out that, you know, while Quinn and Carter think that they are sneaking around hunching, Eric knows that they are, and he's setting a trap for them. Like, for Eric just to be so pissed off, and you see, you know, Bold, this is something that y'all could do, that y'all love to do. You can have them, y'all could use your many, many flashbacks like you always do. Eric just sitting there thinking about all the times that he went to bat for Quinn and this and that, and how she made him look like a fool for his family, and for Eric to just think about all the times he was made a fool of, period, and for him to just be you see that Eric snap, and you see that he is just going out for revenge. That would be kind of cool.
And then would make me understand Eric using Justin. That would, like, just use everybody to just take everybody down. It would be, I would very much love it.
Josh, when you're in a young relationship and you have a baby, isn't it the best idea to just have some person move in with you and live with you? For apparent reason.
Okay.
What are you thinking of Steffi Finn and Paris's storyline?
Okay, so I, on one side, I'm always a fan of mixing characters that don't often mix. So I like that part of it. What I don't like is it looking like Paris is going to be the babysitter singing to the kid. It made me uncomfortable.
Cringeworthy when she I was nothing against your singing, darling, but
no.
I'm just like, oh god, y'all got her shucking and jiving. I don't like it. No.
My fear is that The Bold and the Beautiful in the recent history, the last 5 or 6 years, likes to make its black women crazy.
Yes.
And I'm very concerned that they're going to transfer what Zoe was originally supposed to be onto Paris.
Yes.
And because there were hints that Paris and Zoe have a history and we don't really know anything about it. My concern, and now we know that Finn is going to go work at the foundation with Paris. And if they do that, if they have them have a genuine affair, good, go for it. That'd be awesome. But that's not, I'm very concerned that we're going towards a Daisy OG Maya kind of thing with Paris. And it makes me nervous because we don't need to make all our black women crazy on Bold and the Beautiful. So I like the mixture of characters, but I'm watching it like through a hand over my face where I'm like peeking because it makes me nervous.
Jillian?
It looks like the hand that rocks the cradle. It's a cheap way for Brad not to get a set for Paris. We heard that Zoe has an apartment, but did we ever see it again? Last time we saw Zoe in a place, it was Carter's, and then she was also living with Vinny and Thomas. So this is a cheap way for him not to create a set for her. And this is also one of their ha-ha-ha, she's integrated with the cast type moments. I'm not feeling it. You're telling your boss that you can't afford to live on your own. Your boss, who you're telling this to, common sense would have your boss, oh my god, you know, I'm so sorry, you should have said something, and based on the work that you're doing, you do deserve a raise and blah blah blah. Oh, and you're working out of a hotel, so we should expense that. Just put that to the Forrester Foundation's expense account.
Yeah.
She's talking about not being able to live in Zoe's apartment because the lease is up. You can't renew the lease, sis. I'm pretty sure they would renew it because it's going to cost them time and energy to find someone to stay in the apartment. I'm just not feeling it. This feels like some 2000s version of Three's Company with this shit going on. I'm not here for it. Like, I do not want it to be the hand that rocks the cradle type situation. I don't want it to be Paris to be, you find out that Paris is this scheming interloper and she's going after Steffi's man. I'm like, are you Eve Harrington? Like, I'm just like, what is going on here? I'm just going to see what this looks like for now, and then I hope it's something different. I hope for the best.
Were you here for Sutton's confession and Victor and Amanda framing him on The Young and the Restless, Jillian?
Chow, Victor was around all that chocolate. I said, look at you, Eric. You look like you got in a diabetic coma. I was here for that. The storyline is just a dud to me. Like, I thought it would have been something else. I kind of figured when this first happened that old man had something to do with it. The fact that Victor is involved, I'm like, I guess this is a way for you to integrate them with Victor Newman. I don't know. I guess somewhere down the line, Victor is going to call a favor on Amanda and she's going to be, you know, beholden. I'm like, I see what y'all are doing there. I just kind of wish I wanted Sutton to be more of a power player. I like that he had that power base. I would have liked, you know, because I thought he was like a black Victor Newman with how he manipulated his family and the control he has over them. I kind of would have liked to see more of that. I like the fact that he didn't bow to Victor, but it cracked me the entire hell up when Victor was like, I am always loyal to family. I'm like, oh, bitch. I never turned my back on family. I'm like, Victoria, Nick, Adam, will Abby. Like a worm. Well, he don't turn his back on Abby.
Well,
he'll yell
still
at
sued him.
No, sir. Let me finish. He will yell at Abby, and look what happened. When she sued him, he yelled at her, and she cried and was like, "I'm sorry, Dad," and went right back under his thumb. Give me a break. The three Elder Newman children should say, "You a damn lie." Nikki should be like, "Oh, bitch, please." Like when he said he never turns his back on family, I'm like, "Are you what crack rock are you smoking, Victor?" But it was cute. It was a cute little thing. I hope they keep Imani around because she looks like she can shake shit up. I want her to be a little bit more spicy. I want her to spice it up more on the canvas. Like, I would love to see her, like, stop trying to push her with Nate and Elena. They're boring. They're like driftwood. I would like to see her, like, I could see her around Adam spicing it up and making Sharon go crazy that Adam is with somebody else. Like they just have like a no strings relationship and Sharon can't take it. Like, come on. I would like to see something like that. Like she needs to be on canvas more. Stop putting all the black people with the black people. Like, damn, like
Josh,
you can work with white people too. Shit.
Josh, meanwhile, Lily, Billy, Victoria, and Ashland are
silly.
Exist.
Yeah, Lily and Billy are silly. That pretty much is it. I like Richard Berge. I think he's a great find. I think, I hope, God help us, that this story is going in the direction that he is trying to play Victoria and Victoria is trying to play him and that they actually fall in love trying to play each other. That would be very cool. We should see more of that on screen if that's what we're doing. But the whole storyline, it's just... This storyline suffers from the same thing that the Amanda Sutton Imani storyline suffers from. We don't know these people. I mean, Billy, Lily, all those people we know, but like Richard, Ashland and Tara and all those people, and then Sutton and Imani, we just don't know the backstory, and they're having to tell us. I keep hearing your words, Luke, of what you thought about Days of Our Lives last year. They're telling us. They're not showing us anything because they can't. Because this didn't happen on screen. None of this existed. So they're just making it up as they go along, which I get is storytelling, but I can't be invested. And so while I like Ashland and Victoria, and I like Imani and Amanda as siblings, I care about them because I like these actors and I like them in scenes together, but I don't care about the backstory. Just really quick to go back. Leanne Rose that plays Imani is wonderful. She is a find. Put her in a compelling storyline. I would put her with either Nicholas or Adam, or maybe even interrupt Billy and Lily because Amanda has a history with Billy and would be pissed that it's Imani getting with him. It would be there's all kinds of things to do. She is gold. Good casting there, but the stories, I'm just meh.
And that's sort of how I felt about Phyllis this last week as she was explaining how she knew something was up and she's going to figure it out and she's going to get them. And I'm like, this is not the Phyllis that we know and love from back in the day. This is not the dynamic powerhouse manipulator. This is just someone who's sitting around complaining all the time about what's going on. And I was like, ugh. Young and the Restless was difficult for me this last week. Jillian, what did you think of Phyllis, Tara, and Sally?
I kind of beg to differ. I mean, the storyline is contrived, but this is old Phyllis. Old Phyllis would have found, like, you're messing with her kid. Old Phyllis would come at you guns blazing. But
are the guns blazing?
Like I was just about to say that. They're not guns blazing. She's just like, they went after my kid. I'm going to go get them. She's not like going all in on them. Like the old Phyllis I know would have called Summer up and say and tell her, I figured it out. No, mom, girl, I figured it out. And for Phyllis,
and here's what we going to do.
Yes. The old Phyllis I know would have said, you're just going to let these two bitches run you out of town and take your man? The old Phyllis would have berated Summer for letting these two milquetoast hoes, well, grifters. One really, these two, no, well, sad, well, well, two, one milquetoast hoe run you out of town, and the old Phyllis would have been like, they would have, you would have heard, hinted about Phyllis, how she took Nick from Sharon and this and that, and someone would have thrown that up in her face, and Phyllis would have been like, well, bitch, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't have been here, like, and for Phyllis to be, Phyllis would have nudged Summer and then tell her, she would have nudged Summer. She would have said, no, 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 no. When Summer tries to demur, she would be like, girl, we are going to get them back. Doesn't Kyle get a say in this? You mean to tell me Kyle can't multitask? Then I guess he wasn't the man that I guess you did him a favor then. He ain't the man that you should have been with. And, like, Phyllis would have, like, done, like, not emotional blackmail, but she would have done reverse psychology on that girl. And they would have teamed up. And they would have gotten these two heifers together. It's just so, like, I feel as though this is probably Michael Mueller's swan song and Hunter King's swan song. Wah, wah. I'm like, this is how you want to let them go out?
Like, and whether they acknowledge it or not, Phyllis knows this situation because Nicholas is pretty, but he's dumb.
Yes.
And Kyle, whether he's supposed to be or not, is very much written as pretty and dumb.
Yes.
So Phyllis should be like, girl, we are with the same man. Let's talk about how we're going to fix this because they can't always do it themselves.
I don't mean Billy.
Exactly. Ew. That's true. I forgot about
that. Yeah.
And that's the secret that still hadn't been used. I know we say it all the time, but that's the secret that still could be explosive.
That should have been Tara or Sally should find that out and be like, you tell what I did. And I'm going to tell what Summer,
The problem is that Summer's off screen. They can't have Tara or Sally figure it out because the character that would have possibly slipped up is gone.
Well, she's back on screen next week when Nikki and them go around the corner to Italy and visit with her. So,
and it still has ramifications for Billy because Jack doesn't know that Billy slept with Summer.
Right, and Victor does not know.
That's going to be very awkward. Yep.
Victor doesn't know.
Yep, that's true. Ooh, imagine Victor and Jack.
Right, Victor doesn't know, and Nick doesn't know. That can make Nick just lose his shit and go after, whatever.
I need Billy to stop wearing those ugly suits, but that's a different topic.
I need Billy to stop wearing that chip on his shoulder.
Trina decided to go old school. Now, depending on which way you're going with it, Parent Trap, there's two different versions of the movie. What did you think of Trina's Parent Trap shenanigans with Nick and Ava?
I thought it was so cute. Trina is this is why this whole Spencer storyline is going to be so juicy when it all comes out that he was the stalker. Trina is ride or die for Ava. We always wanted somebody in Ava's corner, and we can go roll around the mulberry bush about Nina, but we won't. We will not stop. I like the fact that Trina is like ride or die for Ava and wants to see her happy. And when Spencer just like cock blocked her doing what she could to get them back together, she still clapped back at his ass.
She did.
And it's like, Spencer, this girl can ether you. You need to slow it down. And see, I feel as though Spencer's hatred of Nicholas and Ava being together, his immense hatred for Ava, that's going to be his undoing, because I thought Spencer might have played it cool and kind of like assisted Trina, but still low-key sabotage, and she never figured out that he sabotaged it. But for him to openly do that, I'm like, Spencer, you're pretty much telling people that it's you. And that's why this storyline is going to be so good, because Trina keeps talking, when he was talking about truth and this and that, and Trina was like, bitch, that ain't your lesson to teach. I thought that was great. The chemistry between all of them is so amazing.
It really is.
Like, that young man, he doesn't really have much of a, I don't know if he hasn't put it up or his people haven't, but he doesn't really have much of an IMDb background. I think this is his only gig. And for someone who only, this is their only, like, first, like, real gig, he's hitting the ground running, and he's with some power players. He is hitting the ground running with Mora to the West. So I'm enjoying it. Poor Trina. I'm like, Trina's heart is in the right place. And she keeps warning Spencer about lying. So I feel as though when that all comes out,
she is going to torch him to the
ground. She's going to destroy him.
Not only is it Ava and Nicholas, but he ruined her graduation party.
Yes. And this also is going to bring up.
Torch him.
Oh, she's gonna kill him. She's gonna, like, he is dead. And you have the history there. Taggart did not like, he was not here for Gia and Nicholas. Yeah. So when he finds out that she's around Nicholas's son, and then when it comes out that Nicholas's son did all of that, that boy is a dead man walking. Like, he's gonna need someone in his corner. The only person who kind of got Spencer and would also check Spencer about his shenanigans, well, besides Laura, was Sonny. Uncle Sonny too busy.
Uncle Sonny don't remember him now.
Yeah,
Uncle Sonny. Uncle Sonny and Nick.
Josh, I was on board the whole, like, Alexis storyline. She ends up at the new cupcake prison.
Oh, this is so stupid.
And, like, Dan and Chris and Dan have done a ton of really great things at General Hospital. So they've earned the right to get the benefit of the doubt from me. But
no,
Ryan, But Ryan, the insane person who chopped off his hand, is in a cupcake prison?
Yeah, this is stupid.
It makes no sense to me.
But this is also the show that writes co-ed prisons. So this is consistent.
But did you notice that they said the only co-ed area is the such and such? They specifically defined
that
this time.
I agree with you.
But then they roll Ryan in a wheelchair, who, this man is insane. And he cut his hand off.
Okay, see, hold on before you go to Josh. Now, see, this is the one time. Write it down. Downwrite it. This
You're going
is
to
the
do direct
one
deposit
time.
Now.
No. That's you and your man, child. Well, anyways, this is the one time I will allow Luke to go on his prison rant, because I'm sitting there and I'm like, Alexis is at Club Fed. Okay, fine. She should be at Club Fed. But Ryan, I'm like, why the hell is Ryan at Club Fed? Ryan should be at a Supermax.
Exactly.
So, and I don't give a fuck why y'all say he in that community room. I don't care. I think it's stupid. I still think it's stupid that they have a co-ed room. I'm like, no prison I know that has a co-ed room. No Supermax, no Lomax. Not Mayor Lomax.
Not CarMax.
You know, not CarMax, not CarFax. I think it's stupid. Stop it.
Had a way to do this.
Let me
get there. They had a way to do this that they didn't get to. Like with that judge that was making sure that Alexis was in isolation and all that. They could have had Alexis be sent to the Supermax crazy place because the judge had her sent there, and that's where Ryan was.
Right. Well, they could have been in cells next to each other.
Right. That makes more sense than having Ryan at the cupcake prison. No. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Fucking ever.
No, I'm sorry. Like, I know they're going to try to explain it away. No, I watch too much fucking Law and Order. I watch too much Law and Orders. I watch too much CSIs. I watch too much Datelines. I watch too much 2020. Shout out to Barbara Walters. I watch too much 48 Hours. I watch too much of them all. I watch the real first 48 Hours for that to happen. No, Ryan, even though he is so quote unquote insane, Ryan would not be in Club Fed. Ryan would be in the Nut House somewhere. He would be at a Supermax Nut House or a Nut House, period. And the fact that they didn't utilize that, like Josh said, to put Alexis in there, it's just mind-blowing. Like, what the hell?
Well, the thing is that, first of all, before everything started, when he first swapped with Kevin, he was in an insane asylum, locked up.
Next door to Carly.
Right. So you mean to tell me that prior to cutting off his own hand, he is in an insane asylum with a straitjacket on, and after cutting off his hand and doing other things, including going on a killing spree, he's now in a cupcake prison.
Stop saying cupcake prison. It's Club Fed. Yeah, like, it's that stupid. Before, I could see him being a Club Fed. After cutting your hand off and killing Kiki, well, see, no shade, but he deserves his props for killing off Kiki Drawers.
Oh, no, very true. No. True.
So, well, you know, he deserves to be
but
a Club Fed.
But he killed more than just whatever. Her.
Yeah, for him killing Kiki Jerome, I could see you being a Club Fed. But you cutting your own hand off and killing those other people? No, like, I don't understand that. Like, Chris and Dad and Chris, a word. We need one.
And the thing is when they rolled someone in, I was really expecting, like, a good shocking. No, it what? How do
oh,
I?
Oh no, no, this? No! I'm saying, who what, were you expecting?
But that's the thing. Like, I was there for the ride. When they brought someone in a wheelchair and weren't showing their identity, I was like, oh, maybe Dan and Chris and Dan have pulled a fast
Bitch,
casting
say,
and brought somebody back who's
if you say
really
Helena,
important.
I will smack you.
Well, no, it was not Helena, but I mean it. I mean, shit. Stavros might have showed up.
Oh,
but
no. Girl, stop!
I'm just—that was totally a joke. But what I was but
joking
for a moment, because Ted King was on my mind from last week's Bold and Beautiful discussion.
No,
I was
like Ted King. No.
What if Ted King was in a wheel there as one of the Alcazars, and that what is the reason why?
Ooh, that was, you know what? Face. Okay, okay. Now I'm okay. Now see, I fucks with you. You know, sometimes you don't land it, and sometimes I'm just like, oh, stay up in the air because you're talking shit. I will give you that. That would have been really interesting if it was Alcazar. I'd have been like, but Alexis to be like, oh shit, my worst nightmare. One of the Alcazar. That would have been.
Thing. Like, Dan and Chris and Dan have done such a good job on a number of fronts, with the exception of honoring legacy history. They've done really good plot twists, and it was
legacy history. They brought.
I was talking in specific regards to the fact that Nina and Ava should not be BFFs. Nicholas and Alexis connection was non-existent for years. The stuff that happened with Liz and Jason was just whitewashed.
The Ava and Nina, that's not legacy history. I thought you, when you say legacy, I'm thinking you mean the Quartermains and so on. That's legacy, but whatever. But yeah, but
so I was giving them the benefit of the doubt that I was expecting some really good plot twist, and then I was like, this makes logically no sense. I've been taken completely out of it, and I don't get it.
But I wonder. Now see, we'll leave all this. Yeah. I wonder if having Ryan back in their orbit, if this is Ryan being back, is going to out Spencer. Because they all thought that this they all keep thinking that they keep coming and going back to Ryan being the one to do it. I wonder somehow Ryan and his one-handed ass going to get out of Club Fed and somehow he's going to come back to town and you're going to find out that it's not him that did it, that it was Spencer. I wonder if he's going to be like, or maybe this is a red herring. I don't know.
Refresh my memory. Does Alexis even know that Nick is being stalked?
Yeah.
Because no. I don't, like, have I don't, they even, I don't know that they've even had, like, when he visited her at the prison, it was more about her stuff and him buying the prison to protect her because of the mumbling mobster. But I don't know that she knows, does he?
I think she does. I think before she went to jail, I think she knew.
Because that was Halloween. It was a Halloween episode. The first time they got the roach or whatever. It was they were out.
I think she has an idea on what's going on.
Valentine's Day.
Well, let's talk about one last thing. Anna has figured out that Finn was on the rooftop. Jillian, what'd you think?
I think it's good. It's lining up just when Jason is like, bitch, when Elizabeth, I'm like, y'all, Liz and Finn
just talking.
Just talking. In the open talking, casual. Yeah. Like, they are not, like, those two, I would not do a crime in front of. Like, you two, I'll sign my own fate. But just, I think, I like how it's lined up. Just when Anna has figured it out, Jason has overheard and told Liz, look, you need my help, I can help you. And I'm just like, why won't anybody? And this is the part that a little irks me, but I'm like, it's drama, so okay. I'm like, everybody knows that Maxie is just like in pain, quote unquote, in pain because that they all think that Peter has taken her baby. You would think Liz and Finn would have anonymously say he didn't do it or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, she's like, so Maxie could be like, oh, I can get
ain't nobody care about that baby.
No, like the only person who really truly cares to get that baby back is Anna and Valentine. Like, but I think it's really good. I wonder what Anna is going to do with Finn. I think Anna, you know, if they play it out and let Anna tell Finn, bitch, I know. And, you know, Finn finally's crack. I do wonder when they go downstairs, are they going to still have Peter there? Or is this when they're going to do the big reveal that Peter is not there anymore and Wes Ramsey is on his way back, child? Because you know that's happening. You know that's happening.
Come on.
Josh, what did you think?
I like it. I like that. I don't like that Elizabeth and Finn are just yapping out loud at that park while they watch that little girl try to play baseball or softball.
She has such cute little accent.
She's adorable. I love her.
Like, she is.
I'm like, which part of the Northeast you from, sugar? Because that's such a Northeastern accent. Ooh,
I know, right? Mm-hmm. What I do love, I don't love Anna and Finn romantically, but I like them as friends.
Yeah.
And I like that Anna's going to protect Finn, and Finn will always want to protect Anna. I like Jason. I don't, you know, I'm not a huge Jason fan, but Jason, this is true to character for Jason. Look, yes. He'll take care of it for the people that are his. He'll take care of it. I like all of that. I like it all coming together. What I really like is what I hope is coming as a result. I feel like we're getting smacked in the head with Hayden, and Hayden is coming. I mean, whether she's coming back or not, I don't know, but it feels like they're saying Hayden's name a lot. Elizabeth's getting close to Finn. You've got that daughter there.
Ooh,
you've
yes.
got that swirling around that I hope is coming. And then you've got all this over here and connected to Hayden, that Sean is going to get justice for Hayden and Nicholas is going to be distracted because he knows he did it, which is going to allow Spencer to continue to do his little thing for a little while because Nicholas isn't focused. This Hayden being strangely the center is an umbrella story.
Yes, this is an umbrella story.
Very well done.
I also was going to say, I feel as though when Anna and Valentine, or maybe Anna goes to go and retrieve Peter's body, it would crack me up when she's there, Jason is there. Jason be like, what you doing here? What you doing here?
All right, let's get to work.
Because like all roads are leading to them all happen to be like, you know.
Over the deep freezer.
Right. So it's going to be really funny. But yeah, they keep mentioning Hayden a lot. I don't know anything because, you know, the GH boys are kind of like they keep things close to the vest.
Which is
know?
Why I thought that the wheelchair was the perfect opportunity for a really good surprise.
Yeah, but yeah. So I don't know, but they keep mentioning Hayden. You got Sean investigating Hayden and Hayden shooting to get payback. Finn and Liz talking about Hayden and this and that. I'm like, what's happening here? Like, is Hayden? Oh God, I just had a thought. What if Hayden comes back with fucking Wes Ramsey as like
Peter? Stop that! I can't see. I keep thinking it's gonna be Nell.
Who?
That Nell would come back with Peter.
Oh Jesus! And I think, that'll be the one time that Maxie is just like, okay, Jason or Michael. You know, Maxie and Carly
just take him out.
Maxie and Carly would be like, okay, take them both out. Check, but no. Totally no. Now, I just wonder if you know they keep mentioning Hayden and this Peter thing. I'm just like, are they gonna come back together? We're gonna find out that Peter ain't really dead, and then he comes back. Ha ha ha! I'm back, Maxie Jones. Give me your phone. Oh, I still hate that line. Jesus Christ. I can't believe he said that. Ooh, I cannot.
I want to go around the circle as the final thought real quick and take bets or odds on what Laura's going to do when she finds out what Spencer's done. Do you think she'll whoop his ass, Jillian?
Whoop who ass? She never whooped Lucky, and Lucky needed an ass whooping.
Well, that's
shit
true, too.
And he did. I think Laura, I feel as though Laura is going to be, I think Trina is going to be the gut punch to make Spencer feel like it's going to go in several ways.
Trina will be the gut punch for Spencer, but Laura's going to be like the emotional, like, well,
I feel like Nicholas is going to start in three phases. Nicholas is going to be all disappointed. Da, da, da. He's going to feel bad. Trina is going to gut punch him. That's going to crush him when she goes off on him. Laura is going to be like the she's just going to be the finisher.
Disappointed parent who
she's going to be like, you know, Laura's just going to devastate Spencer when she says what she says. So
Josh, what are your thoughts?
I think I agree with all of that, but I think at the end of it, it's going to be Ava that gets Nicholas to forgive Spencer. That Ava's going to say, your son is still alive.
I don't know, because you heard. I don't know about that. Because
I think Ava, that might be Britt. It could be Britt,
but here's the thing.
I don't know.
Ava lost a child. And at the end, I'm not saying it's going to be her initial response. After she gets angry and does all the things that Ava does, I feel like afterwards, she's going to come upon Spencer somewhere by himself or whatever. And that she eventually will go back, look, your kid's alive. I don't like what
he did. If they do this right, though, they have the ability to set this up for a long-running rivalry between Ava and Spencer in terms of, like, she may say that, but she needs to get revenge after the fact or manipulate in some way.
I don't know, because remember, this week when Trina was talking to Ava, was it this week? When she was talking to Ava about her mystery guy, Ava had that line. If he steps out of line or mistreats you, he's going to have to answer to
you. Yeah, oh, that's true.
That's one. Ava has always told people that Trina reminds her of Kiki. And I'm like, I don't know. Trina and her mama should cuss you out for that. Because I'm like, Kiki, where? Get out of here. I'm like, Ava, how dare you? Ava has always been over. She's always been protective of Trina to the point that Portia had to let her know, bitch, this is my child. Don't watch yourself. Like, she's always been protective of Trina. So, and because Trina has heard all the stories about Ava, but she is looking at her through Trina, like through her own eyes. And Ava has been nothing but good to her. So the fact that Spencer has fucked with Trina, I don't know. She may say, Nicholas, damn your son. He fucked with my girl.
On that note, we'd encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Josh is at DrJoshua09, and Jillian is at Jillian Poe. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Co-ed club fed prison.
Look at your rhyme, co-ed club fed. I like
I don't understand them with that. I'm just like...